This week on Raiders All Access, the Silver and Black lose a thriller in the Steel City.
Gonna lob one for Michael Crabtree. He's got it. High snap, pulls it down, and the rookie kicker buries the Raiders. The Raiders lose.
But are the Raiders' playoff hopes still alive?
The black crayon and the silver one and go with the Raiders.
Plus, Jack Del Rio faces off against a familiar foe. Do you miss the horn?
No, I don't like hearing the horn anymore.
That and more as we look at the week that was on Raiders All Access, starting right now.
Looking for the end zone, left for Michael Crabtree. He's got it. Right away, they come out and hit him. Carr looking for the end zone. Wide open, Amari Cooper.
135,250.
You got to dig down. Do it right. Get it up. Play ball. Got to make plays.
Antonio Brown wide right, one-on-one with Amerson. Runs it in. Cut. Alden Smith sacks Bannon.
The Raiders lose another close one in Pittsburgh, but this week they're back home as they face the Minnesota Vikings. And it seems like each week Jack Del Rio either faces a team that he played for or coached for. This week it's the Vikings, a team that he represented in the 1994 Pro Bowl.
They play a lot of quarters coverage, a lot of even coverage, two and four. And so split safety looks, you know, with that, you're playing a lighter box, and there should be opportunities to run the ball, and, you know, we'll have another challenge on our hands.
Okay, so now let's focus on Adrian Peterson. How do you plan to slow him down?
Well, leverage and tackle. We got to make sure we do the basic fundamentals. I mean, this guy, you know, you have to button down the edges. You've got to make sure you're leveraging your blocks properly and you're tackling. And when you do those things, even a great player like this, okay, you can hold him down. But if you don't do it, what happens is a back like this, if you don't take care of your responsibility and he gets loose, and he's the kind of guy that he's too strong for DBs to bring down, too fast, will run away from other people, and all of a sudden you're getting really explosive, ugly gains. And this guy's known for that throughout his career. It's a big-time challenge for our defense.
The Raiders' offense currently ranks eighth in the NFL. In the past 3 weeks, they've scored at least 34 points. And in those three games, Derek Carr has only been sacked once, thanks in part to blindside protector Donald Penn. Let's get to our five questions now. Here we go. First job ever in SoCal. How'd you pay the bills?
Washing
cars at an actual car wash?
No, in the neighborhood. Going to people's houses up and down the street. Me and my friend, we go ask the Ring doorbell because they knew us as kids. And, you know, we asked to wash cars young, you know, get $5, $10 here and there.
Your favorite Raider of all time. So you grew up watching the team. You can go past, you can go current.
So that's a tough one because, you know, I grew up, you know, I love Rich Gannon, you know, I love Tim Brown. You know, I love Charlie Gardner. I love Rod Woodson. It's hard. And then when I started really getting into the line, you know, I was a big Lincoln Kennedy fan growing up. So
diehard Lakers fan. Is this it for Kobe Bryant? Is this the victory tour? The goodbye, farewell?
I hope so. I hope he goes out after this year.
What position on the field do you look at and say, man, I wish that was me out there?
I'll probably either be a receiver. Receiver, tight end, maybe a defense end, but probably I'll probably have the ball in my hand. Receiver, tight end.
All right, final question here. Coach Tice, we know that he can light up a room, so what's the best nickname he's given?
Oh, man, we got a couple in there.
Share the dirt.
It's hard, man. I'm just going to leave it at that. We got a couple in there, and I'm just going to leave it at that.
In the community, to kick off Salute to Service Week, the Raiders Foundation welcome wounded veterans to spend the afternoon with current Raider players and Raiderettes.
You know, sometimes you don't understand, you know, the impact that you have on people. But then when you get to, you know, meet them face to face, you know, you truly understand it. So, you know, we're all blessed, you know, to be here and be a part of this great game to give so many people joy.
In addition, the Raiders Foundation also hosted a dinner with veterans of the military along with Raider alumni.
Most like a Marine, we kind of squared away.
It's what the Raiders organization is famous for, giving back. Yeah, Hall of Famer Willie Brown starting the ceremony up, and you couldn't ask for a better person to lead us into tonight's event.
Joining us now, the host of the official Raiders podcast, which you can find on Raiders.com or iTunes, JT the Brick. JT, I know there are no moral victories, but let's go back to that fourth quarter because the team did show that they were resilient. They were able to come back, score two touchdowns. They just couldn't get it done and get the W.
Yeah, that was a really tough loss, Nicole. There's no way to spin it, as you said. A loss is a loss, and the Raiders were the better team. The Raiders should have won that game going away, but they showed tremendous fight in the fourth quarter to get back into that game. I mean, look at Derek Carr and what he's able to do in these games. when trailing and when he needs to explode and have a big performance. The fact that Carr is now at an elite level in this league with three straight games of four touchdowns or more, tying Drew Brees, the only two in front of him is Dan Marino at four and Peyton Manning at five. This is exceptional football that we're getting from the quarterback, but everybody knew that Antonio Brown was going to get the ball. The Raiders secondary couldn't stop him, and that is cause for concern. That's got to get cleaned up.
Yeah, you bring up a great point. Despite the loss, Derek Carr getting a lot of positive headlines in the national media. The same can be said about another sophomore quarterback and who they're facing in Teddy Bridgewater. It seems like they continue to match each other. When you look at this Vikings team outside of Adrian Peterson, what should the Raiders be afraid of, or what should they be really concerned with?
Well, Nicole, great question, because I think this game comes down to about three or four stars on the Vikings side. Linval Joseph, their defensive tackle, is the best in the league at that position. We talk about J.J. Watt on the defensive end. Mike Zimmer called him the best defensive player that he's coached. He's that good. He doesn't show up in the stats, but he stops the run at penetration. He is unbelievable. And the Vikings defense, they only give up 17 points a game. They got good athletic linebackers, but Joseph up front is their best player. And the Raiders offensive line, they're going to have their hands full with him. Stephon Diggs, another rookie wide receiver. We talk about Amari Cooper. He's having a heck of a year. He's their go-to guy. So they got an outside wide receiver and, of course, Adrian Peterson. And Adrian Peterson, I don't want to say he's not the same player of 2 or 3 years ago, but statistically, he's still a guy who can average 4.5 yards a carry, and the Raiders have to tackle well, because if Peterson gets to the next deck, he gets into the secondary, he's going to run people over, especially in the red zone.
I want to take a turn and end on a sad note here, because we learned this week of the passing of Richard Romanski. He was the longtime equipment manager here and really one of the building blocks of this franchise. You spent a lot of time around him. What are some of your fondest memories, JT?
Well, I'll tell you, Mr. Romanski was family. That's what I've learned about being a part of this organization. This is a family business, the Oakland Raiders, and Al Davis treated Mr. Romanski like a member of the family. You nailed it perfectly, Nicole. He was part of the building blocks of one of the greatest sports organizations in the history of North American sports. He was a part of it, and his legacy is with his son, Bobby. Think about that. You know, we talk about football players, and maybe a player has a son who plays in this league, but to see Bobby Romanski now running the equipment and doing what he does, and he's so good at what he does, and to see him look up to his dad and to see Mr. Romanski look at his son as he changed the guard over to him was really impressive over the last 10, 15 years. And it is a big loss. This is a massive loss for the Raider organization, because he was family. And whenever, when Mr. Davis was alive, a family member was lost, he treated him that way. He treated those family members special. And I'm sure Mark Davis is doing the same thing.
Well, as we close here, JT, there's no other fitting way than to remember Richard Romanski. So now we take a look back at the life of one of the people that was really a building block in the foundation of this storied franchise.
There was nobody better at it than Romo. You know, he knew what they wanted, knew what they needed at all times. If you forgot something, they always had something on hand to replace whatever you forgot. And believe me, players tend to forget to put everything in their bag when they go on a trip.
Whatever you need, Richard had it. You know, new stuff, old stuff, whatever. He was the guy to go to.
He's a man of few words and a lot of action. For Richard Romanski, the duties of an NFL equipment manager range from handyman to Superman. The responsibilities endless in keeping players field ready, and the pressure to protect, prodigious.
Somebody's got a sore shoulder, they get their scissors or knives and cut a hole so and put padding in it so it fits them just right so it doesn't hurt. They're amazing with the kinds of things that they can come up with to help a player feel better when he goes out there on the football field.
It's great, a lot of fun, keeps you young.